If you turn with me to Devarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 32. This, of course, is the actual first of the Hebrew. You're going to see a space all the way down in the scroll. You have the space because, of course, this is a song. And songs are textually different in the actual scroll than, say, a chapter or a section. So it says, Hazenu, Hashamim, Hashamayim, which is heavens, Va'adabar, Ve'tishme, Haaretz, which of course is earth. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth, calling both heaven and earth as witnesses, which quite often he does when he has an important thing to say. So we're going to start with verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4 describe Yahweh. Then we'll get to 5 through the end of the chapter. So 1 through 4 says this: Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings drop as the rain, and my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on tender herb, and as showers on the grass, for I proclaim the name of Yahweh. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is complete or perfect. For all his ways are justice, God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Now, key verse I want you to hold on to. Verse 2, let my teachings drop as rain, my speech distill as dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers in the grass. He is saying in regard that his Torah, his words are this sweet rain upon these crops. These crops, like grass or herbs, that give them a few days without drought and they will start to dry and die. These are not trees that could go through weeks or months. These are tender plants, and his teachings are like the tender mercies that he sends our way. Starting with verses 5 through 10, speaking about someone else here. They have corrupted themselves. They are not his children because of their blemish. Another word there is spot. Remember when we go through Leviticus, it says that if a sacrifice has a blemish or a spot on it, it cannot be sacrificed. He's comparing his children to that. A perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus deal with Yahweh, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who brought you, who bought you? Is he not made you and established you? Verse 7, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For Yahweh's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in a wasteland, a howling wilderness, and he encircled him. He instructed or taught him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. Now, key phrase I want you to focus on here. Remember, Yahweh is this wonderful rain or dew, and he says that we were found in a desert land, in a wasteland, a howling wilderness. The place we were living does not sound that great. It sounds hot and dry And nothing there sounds like we can live in it. But look what he did. He encircles him, he instructs him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Okay? Now, we're going to take that and go into Jeremiah. Now hold on to those thoughts. Because why do we have a corrupted generation? That's what I'm thinking about. Why a corrupt generation? Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, this is Yahweh, and what is he? The fountain of living waters. And they have hewn, made themselves cisterns, these are things that hold water, stagnant water, by the way, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, usually stagnant water, water that was sitting, you had to be careful of because after a time, it's poison water. And these water, as Yahweh is comparing them, are words or teachings. So men have created their own teachings and a structure to hold them. So let's go back comparing Yahweh and man. It says that Yahweh teaches, his teachings are like rain on crops or dew on grass. He says that he is a fountain of living water. So not only is he a fountain of living water, he's the fountain and the actual water are his teachings. Psalm 23 says that he will lead us where? To still waters, green pastures and still waters. Okay? So again, that's that idea of what Yahweh's doing. For man, well, they're corrupted children. And I mean mankind. He said they are dry. He said that they're a place of famine, and they called it a wasteland. That's our life, by the way. It's a metaphorical idea of our life. And he says that we are foolish and unwise people. How do the children get corrupted? The answer is in Torah. Not a surprise. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. Listen to this. For Yahweh your Elohim is bringing you into a good land. A land of what? Brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills. Hold on to that thought that he brings you to a place that there's water springing out of the valleys. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless Yahweh your Elohim for the good that Yahweh has given you. So what he's saying here is be careful because Yahweh is going to bless you so much. There's going to be a point where you're so full that, 11 and 12, beware that you do not forget Yahweh your Elohim by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses. Who does that sound like? They're always full and they have beautiful houses. Someone who's rich. So when you are so blessed that you are rich, and hold on to that concept, don't forget, 8:17. This is what happens when you forget. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. 8:18. And you shall remember Yahweh Elohim, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. So the warning is that you would be so surrounded with blessings, you might think that you earned them. That you are the great one. And again, it's even a temptation. Because when Yahweh gives you all the laws, you start going, well, I can follow this command. Look how good I am. I can follow that command. Look how wonderful I am. I can obey too. And our mind wants to go, look, I can keep... And they don't keep them. And they don't keep them. And when we get into that situation where we're comparing ourselves to others, we can feel like we're pretty far away. We're way closer to Yahweh than the people around us. The sad part is when you turn around, you can't even see Yahweh in the horizon. Because no matter our journey is not to be closer to Yahweh than others. Our journey is to be closer to Yahweh. That's our goal. Now, what happens when we forget where the blessings come from and stop keeping His commands? What happens? Hold on to that thought. Deuteronomy 28:18. So that there may be not among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe whose heart turns away today from Yahweh your God to go and serve the gods of the nations, the Elohim of the nations, that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Verse 19. And so it may be not happen when he hears the words of this curse. So again, in Deuteronomy 28, it's getting into the curses. That he blesses himself in his heart saying, I shall have shalom, peace, even though I follow the dictates of my heart. Now, some of your scriptures might have, as the drunkard is with the thirsty or with the dry. The word there, as through the watered, would be included with the thirsty. And what he's trying to say is, remember that if you're blessed, you have springs of living water. If you're cursed, it's dry. Go back to the mountains we were just teaching on the last few months, right? One's green, one's brown. And what he's saying here is, if you try and hide among my people, it's as though those that are thirsty are living among the watered. And that's scary because that means you might be learning from someone who actually is thirsty when they're at home, but they act like they're blessed and full of Yahweh's teachings and water when they're out amongst us. Isaiah 5:13. Listen to these people who get rich. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. They're honorable men. And this is the idea of mighty or wonderful, are famished. Get that idea here again? They're dry. And their multitude dried up with thirst. Isaiah 5:14. Therefore, Sheol, or the grave, has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and who is jubilant shall descend in it, into the grave. Listen to Isaiah 41:17. The poor and the needy seek water. So these are people who realize they need water and they go seeking it. They're not concerned about gold, silver, or other things. They just want water. But there is none. Now again, in Scripture, the idea of water is his teaching. In fact, go back and read Amos. And if you go back to Amos, it specifically makes a point that there'll be a time when there'll be a famine of Yahweh's word. And he compares it to there'll be no rain showers upon the land. The tongues failed for thirst. I, Yahweh, will hear them, and I, the Elohim of Israel, will not forsake them. Isaiah 41:18. I will open rivers in desolate heights, the fountains in the midst of the valleys. Did you guys see that? He's going to make fountains of living water in the midst of the valleys. So the valleys didn't have them, and he is doing that. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. So this desolate place, he's going to make full of water, and the dry land springs of water. So again, you get this concept of dry and thirsty, and then opposite end, quenched, full, living water. That's what I want you to get to, is this two concepts that are standing together here. Luke 16, 19 to 21. This is where these two concepts come together. And when I went to look at this, I was silent for a little bit because the reality of how this connects for us to understand. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in what? Purple and fine linen. He had wonderful stuff and fared sumptuously every day. He had everything he needed. So we have one person. Now, remember, this rich man, however wonderful he is, He's tempted to forget that he was made rich because of Yahweh. Now, but there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. So it's opposite. Instead of him being clothed in purple and fine linen, he is clothed in sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. So notice, you get the idea, almost like the prodigal son, he wants to eat from the rich man's table, but does it say that the rich man is giving him? No. Not even the crumbs from his table is he willing to give the man. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Dogs were doing something more to help him than the actual rich man. Luke 16:22 and 23. So it was that the beggar died. Remember, it goes back to Sheol. Was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. I need you to hold on to this idea. Bosom here would be like the stomach. So, does Abraham have a big stomach that we're going to live in? No. It's metaphorical because we're supposed to be born as children of Abraham. Remember the stars and the promise? And so the point being is this place called Abraham's bosom is the reality that Yahweh's promise has created a place that he's going to protect the children of Abraham, and you are a child of Abraham by your love. Abraham saw strangers in the desert, dry land. He runs out to them in the middle of the day and then has food and everything taken care of, including washing their feet. Abraham's bosom. So he's a child of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torment in the grave, Sheol, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham. How far is Abraham from him? Afar off. And Lazarus in his bosom. So he's saying, I see Abraham, but he's way over there. Now this is very important, because I want the scripture to actually open this up. I don't want to tell you this yet, what this means. But just realize, he realizes Abraham's far from him. And Lazarus is with Abraham. 16:24. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to me. Dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now, what was the curse on the people? Wasn't it like if the man was by himself, it was a wasteland, a dry place? They were thirsty. Does it not sound like the man, the place where the rich man is? He so wants that dew or that water just to drip off the finger of Lazarus into his mouth. For I am tormented in a flame of heat. There's this, remember, if Yahweh is a living fountain and we don't have Yahweh, well, guess what? Then you don't have the water. Water is life. I want you to imagine right now that all the water in Florida gets turned off. And no trucks have come in delivering it. The rivers have dried up. All of you right now would be thinking, where can I find water? Because you can only go so many days without water. Continuing in the story, verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that you in your lifetime, you received all the good things. And likewise, Lazarus got evil or terrible things. But he now is comforted, and you are not. 26 and 27. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, a huge divide, so that those who want to pass from there to here cannot. Nor can those from here pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you should send him to my father's house. He wants him to send Lazarus to his father's house. Luke 16:28. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Now, it also points out the reality of who he is, because Yeshua teaches, if you go forth and do your righteous deeds in front of people, you have received your reward. And the rich man did, but it was here on earth. Right? It also shows you, in this passage, if you only love those who love you, what good is that? Even those who have no idea of the truth do the same. So again, his only concern is for his five brothers. Not for the world or anyone else, or maybe another poor soul out there. His only concern is for those who love him, his brothers. 29. Listen to the answer. And he's calling out to Abraham. It's interesting. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They've got Moses and the prophets. Who else do they need to hear? Here's what's so cool. Because it comes in the warning of this week's portion. This week's portion is a song to remember to warn you so you don't end up as the rich man. And it's also why, you know, notice I have two passages. One is a passage from Torah, which is Moses. How do the apostles say Moses is taught in every synagogue on every Shabbat? I'm also going to have a passage from the prophets, and it's going to tell you why he's speaking to Abraham. Ready? What does it mean that he has Moses and the prophets? Here's Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. What is Abraham called? The father of many nations. Go and ask him. Learn from his life. Well, you guys, you might sit back and go, yeah, but I don't, that's not why. How about Jeremiah? Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find what? Rest for your souls. Does the rich man sound like he has rest for his soul? But they said, we will not walk in it. Their answer to that warning given both in Moses and in the prophets is, nope, I don't need it. I've got all I need. Go back to the old paths. Ask the Father. Did you realize that? I realized this morning, the prodigal son did this. And you might sit back and go, when did the prodigal son do this? The prodigal son said, you know what? I remember when I was younger and I lived with my father. And remembering how it was with his father made him make the journey home. Same concept. Same concept. Luke 16:30. And this is incredible. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. So if Lazarus comes back from the dead, all his brothers will see Lazarus and they're going to repent and change. Interesting answer. But he said, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will be persuaded though one rise from the dead. Do you realize that Yeshua is teaching this and Yahweh actually has him rise from the dead? But are the five brothers of the rich man going to believe now to do the words of Moses just because Yeshua rose from the dead? Absolutely not. If they didn't believe in the words of Moses and the prophets before then, they're not going to believe them now. So let's go ahead and close. This goes back to what I started today with from Deuteronomy 32. But I added a few words. Instead of just Yahweh, it's with Yahweh. So if you're with Yahweh, this is what Lazarus knew. He knew the teachings were like rain on the crops and dew on the grass. His teachings were like sweet mercies on our life that brought life. That he was a fountain of living water welling up to salvation inside of us so we would never be thirsty. And again, connect this to the Beatitudes. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Doesn't for those who hunger and thirst for wealth. He will lead us by green pastures and by still waters. He will restore our soul. Remember he talked about him being making all things perfect or full? Same idea. Man alone, without God, I can do it. Corrupted children. Dry. Place of famine. A wasteland. Foolish and unwise people. One way or another, we look back and remember. Each of us have a conversation with Abraham. And prayerfully, we make the journey home. It's always better at home. Baruch Hashem.